If you have your Bibles, open them up to Acts chapter number 5. What we're doing is continuing our study in the dispensational distinctive of circumcision. We're looking at dispensationalism. We're taking one issue, we're tracing it through the Bible. What we did last week is we've been making our way through the Scriptures and looking at this issue of circumcision as drawing a dispensational distinctive in God's plans and dealings with the nation of Israel and how He was dealing with the other nations of the world. And we've been looking at this chart just as a visual representation that in here we have, up here we have Israel, right? And we have the nations of the world down here who were not part of God's dealings, and there's this middle wall of partition that's been separating them because there's a distinction in the way that God deals with man. And what we've done is, I think it was pretty straightforward that we saw most people see that God was dealing with Israel in the Old Testament, right? A different way than He was dealing with the nations of the world. But then we moved into what is referred to as the New Testament with John the Baptist showing up on the scene, and we looked to see what is going on with the distinctive there. And we moved through as Christ began His earthly ministry, and He called the 12 apostles and He sent them out teaching. And we looked through what was the content of what they were preaching, who were they preaching to, and we saw that this dispensational distinctive of circumcision was still there, right? Very clearly it was still there. And so this is one point where many people think that maybe that distinction has gone. And when I say that people think that the dispensational distinctive between circumcision and uncircumcision is gone here, I'm not saying necessarily that they think that consciously in their mind, like they've studied it out and think that it ends there, but because of the way maybe that they've been raised or the church that they're a part of, subliminally, they think that now God is working with everyone the same way here. We saw that that was not the case. Well, the next point where people seem to subconsciously think that God is now dealing with every man the same way was at the time of the cross. And last week we started looking at the early part of Acts after the cross to see how was God dealing with men. Was that dispensational distinctive of circumcision, was it still there? Was He dealing with men on the basis of their circumcision status and the Abrahamic covenant of circumcision? And I think what we saw last week is that was the case, right? You remember the audience who was being dealt with and the message that was being dealt with. There's a distinction that's still there. This middle wall of partition is still up. And so what we're going to do now is we're going to continue going through the book of Acts and probably finish that today and look at how God is dealing with men. And we're going to see, okay, did the distinction fall off some point during the early part of Acts? I think we covered up through maybe chapter 3 last week. So I ask you to open your Bibles to Acts chapter number 5. Acts chapter 5, and let's read verse number 29. Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, "We ought to obey God rather than men." Now that's a great philosophy to live by. In verse number 30, "The God of our fathers..." So who is Peter talking about now? The God of our fathers? He's including in the group he's talking about, ours, meaning his compadres that he's working with, is the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. "Raised up Jesus, the God of our fathers, raised up Jesus, whom ye slew and hanged on a tree. Him hath God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins." So if you notice here, you see that the nation of Israel was not set aside, was it? The distinction is not done away with. Peter is preaching the cross again in condemnation to Israel. We saw that a bit last week, earlier on in the book of Acts. He says, "Jesus, whom ye slew and hanged on a tree." That's not good news, right? That's a, hey, you did something wrong. You slew him. You know, saying that you slew somebody is not a positive connotation. You murdered the man. You slew him. You hanged him on a tree. But the main point here is that this is all Jewish men ministering to a Jewish audience. He says it's the God of our fathers. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob is the one the God of our fathers raised up, Jesus, whom ye slew and hanged on a tree. And then he goes on and says, him hath God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior. You know, that princely status. Israel was to have a kingdom, right? What do you have in a kingdom? You have a prince. You have a ruler. So him hath God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. So we see that the audience is a Jewish audience being ministered to by Jewish men. Or in other words, it's a circumcision audience being ministered to by circumcision ministers. The question you have to ask yourself now is, if this is still in place, then when does the middle wall of partition fall? It's obvious that in the beginning part of Acts, based off of what we saw last week and are continuing to see, it's obvious that the middle wall is still up. Now the purpose, we've talked about that purpose before, and just to make it clear, the purpose of the ministry is to eventually expand so that Israel would go and have the opportunity to be that blessing to all the nations of the world. So it's important not only to understand the purpose, as Pastor Tom's been teaching on Wednesday nights, but it's important to understand and not read the purpose back into the ongoings at that present point in time on the timeline. So the purpose for which God had chosen Israel was to be that blessing to the nation, but it's not just going everywhere and preaching the gospel to every creature at that point in time, like it comes to be for us today in the body of Christ. Here we still see Israel to Israel only. So as a Gentile, you're not here in the book of Acts. A ministry that involved you as a Gentile, as an uncircumcised person, did not start in Acts chapter 2, as is so often postulated, and has not started up until this point in Acts chapter 5. So we're moving right along the timeline. Now turn over to Acts chapter 6. You'll notice that we're skipping quite a few chapters in the book of Acts because the point of our study is not to be exhaustive. The point of our study is to give a very brief and broad overview. And you may think, well, we've failed at that because we've spent 4 months and we're only in the book of Acts, right? But the point is not to go into a deep dive, but to keep the theme and see how the theme is woven throughout the pages of Scripture. So now we come to Acts chapter 10. We've moved farther along in the timeline, right? Acts chapter 10 comes after Acts chapter 5, which comes after Acts chapter 2, which comes after the cross. In Acts chapter 10, we find that Gentiles, according to the 12 apostles, were still unclean. Still unclean. And what that means is there's a dispensational difference, a distinctive, between the circumcision and the uncircumcision, because the uncircumcision were still unclean. Peter receives this vision of unclean foods, and Peter doubted the vision. He wasn't sure about it. What does this mean? Not so, Lord. What does this mean? And he wrestled with it. You know, Peter, who being called by God, went into a Gentile's house, an uncircumcised Gentile's house. This was a man from Joppa. He was named Cornelius. But upon arriving at the house, Peter had this to say. Acts chapter 10 and verse number 26. But Peter took him up, saying, stand up, I myself also am a man. So Peter walks into the house, and this Gentile falls down at Peter's feet in a form of worship. But no one is to be worshipped save God, not even the angels. So Peter says, get up, don't worship me. Verse 27, and as he talked with him, he went in and found many that were come together. Many Gentiles, many people of the nations had come together into Cornelius' house to see what Peter had to say to them. Because if you back up in the story, God had made himself known to Cornelius, and he said, send some men up to get Peter, to fetch Peter. And the men go up to Peter, and say, hey, we want you to come to this Gentile's house. Please come with us. And God had told Peter, go with them, doubting nothing. So Peter's not quite sure what's going on. You put yourself in Peter's shoes. There's something different going on here. God told me to go, doubting nothing, so I'm going. And this is what he said when he walks into this Gentile's house, and he finds many that were come together in verse 28. And he said unto them, ye know how that is, it is an unlawful thing for a man that is a Jew to keep company or come unto one of another nation. Is that a dispensational distinctive? Is the circumcision distinctive still up in Acts chapter 10? It most certainly is, because Peter goes into this Gentile's house and he tells them how it is unlawful for me to even be here with you, you unclean Gentile, you uncircumcised member of the nations. It's not lawful for me to even be here. But God has showed me that I should not call any man common or unclean. When did God show him that? Did God show Peter that when Christ was teaching him in his 3-year earthly ministry? Did God show Peter that right before he went to the cross and told him he was going to die and Peter didn't know he was going to die? Did God show him that after he rose from the grave and appeared unto the apostle for 40 days teaching them things pertaining to the kingdom? No. You know that because here Peter is in Acts chapter 10 and he says, I will not eat anything that's common or unclean. He's still operating on that basis in the law. And at that point in time, God tells Peter something. What I have made clean, call thou not unclean, call thou not common. So anyways, the point being is that do we think that Peter and the 12, and I'm just trying to draw a simple conclusion from the scripture here, do we think that Peter and the 12 were ministering to Gentiles in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John and Acts chapter 2 when it was not even lawful for them to keep company with or come up to one of another nation in Acts chapter 10? Of course not. Of course not. That would be absurd. So we see as far as Peter and the 12 apostles are concerned, the middle wall of partition is still up in Acts chapter 10. As far as Peter is concerned, the 12 apostles, the middle wall is still up. He thinks the uncircumcised are unclean. It's not lawful for him to go unto them. And if it's not lawful for him to go unto him, do you think he was preaching in Acts chapter 2 and starting a new church where, hey, we're going to have Gentiles coming into a church, but they're still unclean, and it's not lawful for us to be around them. So this new church we're starting in Acts chapter 2, we're going to put a middle wall of division down the church. We're going to put the Jews on one side and the Gentiles on another side, so that way they can't mingle. Or better yet, we'll just keep the Gentiles, those unclean, filthy, common, uncircumcised Gentiles in their own house, and we'll just get the Jews together. That's not the way that Acts 2 worked. It was circumcised ministers ministering unto the circumcision. So the middle wall of partition is still up. Turn over to John chapter 4 real quick. John chapter 4. Just a similar illustration that came to mind. If you look at John chapter 4 and verse number 5. Then cometh he, this is Jesus, then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. A woman of Samaria, is that a Jew or a member of the nations? That's a half-breed. They were not considered a Jew. They were not considered part of the circumcision. They were considered an outsider. Okay? So this is a woman of not of the of Israel coming to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away unto the city to buy meat. So his disciples were not there. It was just Jesus and the woman. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans, no dealings with them. Why is that? Because in Israel's mind, it's just like that Samaritan was one of those uncircumcised dogs, you know, the members of the nations out there. Israel had no dealings with the Samaritans. Now drop down to verse 25. The woman saith unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. And upon this came his disciples. So right about this time, as these things are being said, the disciples walk up and they see what's going on. And upon this came his disciples and marveled that he talked with the woman. Do you get that? The 12 disciples marveled that Christ, being a Jew, a member of the circumcision, even talked with this woman. Why are you keeping company with this woman, Lord? She's not part of Israel. She isn't part of the circumcision. Yet no man said, what seekest thou, or why talkest thou with her? So they thought this, but they didn't ask him, Lord, why talkest thou with her? She's a Samaritan. So what I wanted you to see is that this is not an error on Peter's part when he walks into Cornelius' home and he says that it's unlawful for me, being a Jew, to come into an uncircumcised Gentile's house and keep company with them. This is not an error on Peter's part. This is consistent with how the Jews operated. The circumcision don't mingle with the uncircumcision. It's oil and water. That's why there's a wall up. There's a difference between the two. God told Israel, be ye separate. He wants them to be ye holy. Separate yourselves unto me. Don't mingle with the uncircumcised member of the nations. So, when did God show to Peter that he should not call a Gentile unclean? Was it in the four Gospels when God called the 12 together? Was it shortly thereafter when he sent them out preaching the gospel of the kingdom? Was it after his resurrection? Was it in Acts 2 when the Holy Spirit came upon them preaching? In Acts 2, do we have record in Scripture that God tells Peter and the 12 when they're preaching at Pentecost that I want you to preach unto every man? And that what I have made clean, don't call thou common. Is that when he revealed it to him? No, what we see is in the timeline of history that God revealed it to Peter, something different in Acts chapter 10. As far as the apostles were concerned, the dispensational distinctive of circumcision was still active and was still up at this point in Acts chapter 10. The middle wall was still there. Where is Acts chapter 10 on the timeline of your New Testament? Real simple question, right? But just to make sure that we're all aware, that's pretty far advanced in the timeline of your New Testament when you get to Acts chapter 10, that we're yet seeing the middle wall of partition still being up in Peter's mind. And Peter's not some schmuck who's a lowly disciple of Christ. You know, he's the leader. He's one of the leaders of the group. So many people incorrectly think that the body of Christ, where there is neither Jew nor Greek, but all are one in Christ Jesus, began in Acts chapter 2, and that Peter was preaching to Gentiles in Acts chapter 2 and throughout Acts. But as late as Acts 10, we see Peter saying that the Gentiles are unclean and that it was unlawful for him to be there. Therefore, we know that Peter was not preaching a message that involves being one in the body of Christ without distinction. Let me repeat the last sentence. We preach a message of no distinction today, do we not? That we are all one in the body of Christ. You put your faith in what the cross work of Christ and what he did for you. And what I'm saying is that we see clearly from Acts chapter 10 that at least prior to Acts chapter 10, Peter could not have been preaching a message that involved all being one in Christ without distinction. It is significant that the vision and what God was teaching Peter occurred in Acts chapter 10. It's significant that it occurred in Acts chapter 10 on the timeline of history, and it was not prior to Acts chapter 9. We have just covered that the wall was up in Acts chapter 5. Turn back to Acts chapter 10 if you're not already there. But we had covered that the wall was up in Acts 5. That was the first group of verses that we read today, and we saw that. And we see that Peter thinks that the wall is up in Acts chapter 10, but God is trying to teach Peter that something changed. What God hath cleansed, that call not thou common. That's the right quote from what I was butchering earlier when I was trying to quote it. What God hath cleansed, that call not thou common. What did God cleanse? And if it had to deal with the middle wall of partition, the change would have had to take place sometime after Acts chapter 5, or at or before Acts chapter 10. And we shall see later, and the purpose right now is not to show this, but we shall see later that a change took place in Acts chapter 9. So look at Acts chapter 10, verse number 36. You know what? Look at verse 26. No, we don't have time to read through it. If we read through the account here, beginning at verse 26, let's do it for the sake of context. Acts chapter 10 and verse number 26. But Peter took him up, saying, "Stand up, I myself also am a man." And as he talked with him, he went in and found many that were come together. And he said unto them, "Ye know how that is an unlawful thing for a man that is a Jew to keep company or come unto one of another nation." So in your mind, just picture you have a circumcision person coming into a house of uncircumcised people to talk to them. This is what's going on. So keep that in your mind as we go throughout the story. "Or come unto one of another nation. But God hath showed me that I should not call any man common or unclean. Therefore came I unto you without gainsaying." Now, Peter didn't go to him because now he's got a ministry of no distinction, and he just went and found some random Gentile. This person God specifically told him to go to and doubt nothing. That's why he went. "Therefore came I unto you without gainsaying as soon as I was sent. For I ask, therefore, for what intent ye have sent for me? And Cornelius said, 4 days ago I was fasting until this hour, and at the ninth hour I prayed in my house, and behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing, and said, Cornelius, thy prayer is heard, and thine alms are had in remembrance in the sight of God. Send therefore to Joppa, and call hither Simon, whose surname is Peter. He is lodged in the house of one Simon, a tanner, by the seaside, who when he cometh shall speak unto thee. Immediately therefore I sent to thee, and thou hast well done that thou art come. Now therefore are we all here present before God to hear all things that are commanded thee of God." So Peter is hearing this uncircumcised man tell him that God has brought you here to me to tell me a message. What do you think is going through Peter's mind at that time? "Then Peter opened his mouth and said, Of a truth I perceive." So he's perceiving something that God is doing. He's perceiving. You know what that means? He's kind of understanding as he's going. It's not that God has given him this full revelation and said, "Hey, the Gentiles are great now. I want you to go preach to them, and here's what I want you to tell them." Peter says, "Of a truth I perceive that God is no respecter of persons." God is no respecter of persons? Have you been here and gone through the verses that we've gone through from the beginning? There's a people up here, and there's a people down here, And God has not so dealt with any other nation as He has dealt with the nation of Israel? And now Peter is perceiving that God is not a respecter of persons? Everything we covered showed that God had a different respect for Israel, a different position for Israel, a different place for Israel, and the other people of the world were not in the same position as Israel. Of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons, but in every nation he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. The word which God, notice, the word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. That word, I say, ye know, which was published throughout all of Judea, and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. We saw that in the preaching of the gospel of the kingdom, right? And we are witnesses of all things which he did both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem. Notice where they were, the land of the Jews in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hanged on a tree. Oh, there's that. There's what Peter's message is, right? Him God raised up the third day and showed him openly, not to all the people, but unto witnesses chosen before of God, even to us who did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach unto the people, that's the people of Israel, and to testify that it is he which was ordained of God to be the judge of the quick and dead, to him give all the prophets witness that through his name whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. While Peter yet spoke these words, the Holy Ghost fell on them which heard the word. Now listen to this. And they of the circumcision, who did the Holy Ghost fell on? The ones who heard the word, who were they? Those were the Gentiles who had been brought together, right? The uncircumcision, these low-down, dirty worms down here, the uncircumcision. The Holy Ghost fell on them which heard the word, and they of the circumcision. So this is Peter and his guys, right? Peter comes down from Joppa, and Peter brings his posse with him, so he's got some circumcision guys in tow when they come into the house. And they of the circumcision which believed, believing circumcision guys, not unbelieving Israel, believing Israel, and they of the circumcision which believed were astonished. What were they astonished at? They were astonished that an uncircumcised Gentile could receive the Holy Ghost. And they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. Why were those of the circumcision astonished? I mean, don't we all know that the uncircumcision received the gift of the Holy Ghost in Acts chapter 2 when Peter was preaching at Pentecost and the Holy Ghost fell upon those men and those people were getting saved and that there was no distinction between who was there in Acts chapter 2 and that both Jew and Gentile were getting saved in Acts chapter 2 and the dispensation of grace began there and that's where the distinction fell down and the wall was no longer up and the circumcision just welcomed in the nations with open arms. That's not the case. Those of the circumcision were astonished because they'd never seen it before. So if in Acts chapter 2, Peter was preaching to the Gentiles, and that's when the dispensation of grace began in Acts chapter 2, as so many incorrectly believe, then the circumcision wouldn't be astonished at something they'd been seeing since Acts chapter 2, would they? They would have seen the members of the nations, uncircumcised Gentiles, getting saved and coming into the church, right? The church that began in Acts chapter 2. They were astonished that a Gentile could receive the Holy Ghost. The circumcision hadn't seen that happen ever before. Ever. That's why they were astonished. You're astonished when you see something you can't believe, right? You see something for the first time. The Gentiles had not been ministered to up to Acts chapter 10. The Gentiles had not been ministered to. You're not there in Acts chapter 2. The church, the body of Christ, where there's neither distinction between Jew and Greek, that did not begin in Acts chapter 2. If you compare Acts chapter 2 with what happened here in Acts chapter 10, look over at Acts chapter 2. If you compare what happened here in Acts chapter 10 and the astonishment of those of the circumcision that the Holy Ghost was poured out on the Gentiles, compare that with Acts chapter 2 and verse number 17. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams, and on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my Spirit, and they shall prophesy. I'm going to pour out of my Spirit, he says. He repeats it twice. And if the Gentiles were receiving that back in Acts chapter 2, and if the Gentiles had been made part of that back in Acts chapter 2, the circumcision would have been seeing that all along. They would have seen the Spirit being poured out on the flesh of the uncircumcision. But that's not what happened. So many Christians believe that the church, the body of Christ, began in Acts chapter 2 with the pouring out of the Holy Spirit. And that that was an indiscriminate ministry to both Jew and Gentile, circumcision and uncircumcision. But you have to ask yourself the question, why in Acts chapter 10 are the circumcision astonished? You know, to be astonished is a feeling of overpowering surprise. Overpowering surprise. Surprise? If you thought that the ministry of the pouring out of the Spirit in Acts chapter 2 was to the uncircumcision, why would you be surprised? Peter, you're the one who's in charge of that ministry. Wouldn't he have known? So you can't plead ignorance here in the Scripture. That's how the commentaries will try to get around it. Oh, Peter, they just didn't know. Oh, they were operating in ignorance. Please. The answer is that they had not seen the Holy Ghost poured out on the Gentiles, and they had not been ministering to Gentiles. For had they been ministering to Gentiles, they surely would have seen the Spirit poured out upon them. But they had not ministered to Gentiles. The circumcision had not seen the Spirit poured out on Gentiles. And the pouring out of the Spirit in Acts chapter 2 was on Jewish circumcision believers only. Many believe that Gentiles got saved in Acts chapter 2, but there were no Gentiles in Acts chapter 2 unless they were proselytes and became a part of the circumcision. There were no Gentiles there. And the early Acts ministry is to Israel only. Israel only up to that point. And I hope you see from Acts chapter 10 that it's very clear that it can be no other way. It can be no other way. You see it all throughout Acts chapter 10. The vision that comes to Peter, where he still thinks that the middle wall of partition is up, because it was up to that point. And God tells him that he's made something that was, that he's cleaned something that was previously unclean. Peter had a hard time understanding. And he shows up on a Gentile's doorstep and says, it's unlawful for me to be here. Even though I've been ministering to you guys for years, since back in Acts chapter 2, it's just unlawful for me to be here with you now. And the fact that all of those that were with him when they saw a Gentile get saved and the Holy Spirit come upon them, that they're all astonished. So the record of Scripture is clear, and God's Word will help to dispel confusion, false belief, and bad doctrine. And all you have to do is rightly divide it and let the Word of God say, mean what it says and say what it means. And I thought we would get through Acts today. We got just a little bit left. We'll move on to Acts chapter 11 next week. We'll finish Acts. And then I told you things were going to start to get interesting, because after Acts chapter 11, We're going to move into this guy named Paul, who starts teaching something about circumcision, and we're going to see if it's consistent with everything that had been spoken of about circumcision since the time of Abraham, or does he possibly come along and say something that's maybe just a little bit different? We'll see. Let's pray. Lord, we love you, and we're thankful for your word, and Lord, we're comforted in the fact that we have a basis for truth and something to build our life upon. Lord, that we don't build upon our life upon, you know, sand that it's moved about because, as the world believes, that all truth is relative. But in you, you say that you are the truth. And that, Lord, you've recorded that truth for us in Scripture. And therefore, we have a foundation not only to build our life upon in this world, but to build our eternal life upon by putting our faith in your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and what he did for us on the cross. Thank you for the many blessed truths that we have in you and your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. In his name we pray. Amen.